It's a practical application, the how to. In Proverbs 2, it tells you how to get into the spirit of wisdom. And first of all, it tells you in verse 3, you have to cry out for discernment. You have to cry out. In verse 4, it says, if you seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasures. In other words, you have to really hunger and thirst after that spirit. Only those who are hungry for righteousness shall be filled. Those who are thirsty and hungry for righteousness shall be filled. So here are those who hunger and thirst for wisdom. There must be an appetite for wisdom before wisdom comes into our life. What Solomon did was that Solomon had an appetite for wisdom before God came into his life. He offered thousands of bull offerings. And when the Lord asked him in a dream, Solomon, what do you want? His appetite for wisdom was greater than his appetite for honor, for fame, for riches, or for any other thing. A lot of people, they got more appetite for money than for wisdom. Or more appetite for the pleasures of this life than for wisdom. But it tells us here that we must seek and have an appetite. We must desire for wisdom to get into the spirit of wisdom. More than silver, more than gold. And it tells us a few practical things here. It says, in verse 10, when wisdom enters your heart. Now it tells you the key. The key to the spirit of wisdom is your heart. Guard your heart. Guard the things in your heart. If your heart has unforgiveness, if your heart has bitterness, immediately you cut yourself out from the spirit of wisdom. Then you begin to see the value of the book of Proverbs. And we are only on second chapter. So we better hurry up, put on fourth gear. Let's go. Chapter 3, we cannot go into detail, we're just giving you nuggets. Chapter 3 is talking about the spirit of understanding, which is related. The two are related. Notice in the book of Isaiah, it classified them in pairs. Wisdom and understanding, counsel and mind, knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So you find a link between those two chapters also, chapter 2 and chapter 3, a close link. But we could differentiate for our study. In chapter 3, is the spirit of understanding. Of course, it's related to wisdom too, but understanding. And you notice, therefore, tapping upon understanding, there are certain things that are required of us. And look at verse, looking over here at the rewards of understanding. Verse 5, it says there are three things that we can tap on understanding. Number 1, chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now in chapter 2 it just says, open your heart to Him. Now it says, you must trust with your heart. To open and to trust are two separate acts. Trust comes. Then in verse 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Then verse 8, honor the Lord. So it tells you how to get understanding. In other words, you get it one step at a time. How do we know? We cannot obey all God's commandments at one time. I'm talking about commandments for our life that He gives. I'm not talking about 10 commandments, all those, you can obey them all the time. I'm talking about when God tells us His will. He reveals His will a step at a time. He may tell you, son, I want you to be obedient, to minister to this one person and follow them out for 6 months. Now that's a work He gives you to do. So you trust Him, you fear Him, and then you obey Him. That's honoring. Honoring is to obey and to act it out. Honoring is to act out our trust. And then as you obey, you get understanding. So, chapter 3 tells us the progression of understanding. And if you study carefully, that's the way it is. We don't immediately understand everything. But wisdom, you can open your heart and it pours into you. But understanding comes as you step up and you step out. So some of you want to tap upon how to understand, when we're talking about understanding, how to understand the operation of the gift of healing. You could pray and fast for 40 days and 40 nights. You can try to be a hero, so double, 80 days and 80 nights. But whatever you receive from God in wisdom, you will have no understanding until you start operating in it, in that small little leadings they give you. Learning to pray over one or two people. Learning to go out and operate. Then you begin to understand. In other words, if there is no action, no understanding. Only wisdom by itself. The understanding is the part that comes not only into your heart, it begins to affect your mind. Notice that the word trust in verse 5 implies that your mind hasn't understood yet. Look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In other words, your own understanding hasn't come yet. You've got to trust in the Lord. Then later you will understand. In the same way, people who want to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, they are always praying and praying and waiting and waiting, which is what a very funny thing that took place many years ago in the early days of ministry, when these charismatic and non-charismatics were debating. And I was there and I was observing the thing, and finally there was this statement that is made by the non-charismatic. It said, "We must not allow speaking in tongues until they can speak in tongues properly." See, this is very funny. It's just like telling a child, you're not allowed to play badminton until you can play like Rudy Hartono. Think carefully. How can that fellow reach that way like that? Without practice. So in the end, you know, we brought forward a sort of mediation and solution. He said, look, we realize that there are abuses and there are people who stumble others because of their extreme practices. But Paul also said, do not forbid speaking in tongues. If we never allow it in the church, where can we learn? If in the homes they don't have a chance, in the church they don't have a chance, where do they learn? So there has to be some room. Perhaps you could have a special meeting where you allow them to flow and let them go. Which is good that today a lot of denominations have a special place for charismatics within their own denomination to practice. Very good. Let them practice. And then once they are experts in the gifts of God, then they come to your main traditional meeting. Then they can just stand up and say, Higum Ram Livo Rasama. The Lord is good and the Lord extols His great name among His people. And He will constantly be glorified. And they can just speak in tongues and interpret, no problem. With ease. See, speaking in tongues and interpretation is normal once you move into that stage of training. So the question here is that we cannot get understanding until we honor the Lord. You notice the honor mentions the first fruits. It could be the first fruits of your possessions. It could be the first fruits of your healing ministry. It could be the first fruits of your word of knowledge. It could be the first fruits of your gift of prophecy. It could be the first fruits of your teaching ministry. It could be the first fruits of your singing ministry. You have to start somewhere. Then you will understand how to flow in that gift. Chapter 3 tells us how to move into understanding. Chapter 4 speaks about might and how to move into the spirit and counsel, spirit of counsel and might. Might is in verse 5. Verse chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. It tells you where counsel flows for. Now when it says out of your heart springs the issues of life, you notice here in verse 20, 21 and 22, the progression. First, the word of God is outside. You do not depart, let it depart from your eyes. You keep it in your heart. Then they are life to those who find them. Do you notice that the context in which he's speaking, they are life to those who find them, is talking about the word giving knowledge, the word as if the word has a voice, teaching us, guiding us. Then in verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. When you talk about the issues of life, and you study the word issues in the Hebrew, although it speaks about a substance that contains life, the word issues also speak about wisdom and speak about direction and what we would call counsel. In other words, when you move to the next step here, you're understanding now the counsel comes into your heart. It's also flowing from your heart. And how do we develop that? We learn to listen to our heart. For wisdom, we learn to open our heart. For understanding, we trust with our heart rather than with our mind. And for counsel, we listen to it speaking. And your heart, your human spirit, will tell you counsel that you could never get anywhere else. Chapter 5, the spirit of might. Now it looks like there's no connection there, but I want you to know there's a connection. At first, it looks like it's talking about the peril of adultery. But if you look at the results of a life of sin in the flesh in verse 11, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Now, that's opposite of what the spirit of might does. The spirit of might strengthens you. The spirit of might brings mighty works. It's where the power of God is demonstrated. It contrasts it with a life of sin in adultery, which saps your strength, which consumes your body. In the end, you're physically affected and dying. What it is this word saying? It's telling you that all the mind and energy you need is in you. It's a matter of conserving it and not being distracted, otherwise that might is whittled out. In verse 15, it says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Do you know that Christians have authority and power that they do not make use of? Do you know why a lot of people, when they command the demon and they say, in Jesus' name, come out, and the demon don't feel the might coming on them? It's because the other 16 hours of their life previous to that, they have been watching Gunsmoke and seeing video shows and doing all this, and their mind is filled with all these things, and therefore their energy that is in their spirit is so dissipated, so distracted, and so clogged up that when they say, in Jesus' name, come out, there is no more might. But if you would conserve and not quote unquote waste your energy, waste your spiritual energy, waste your spiritual life, conserve it, and then you come and you come to the demon and say, in Jesus' name, the spirit of might comes out to you and causes an effect of torment on the demon. A lot of Christians are crying for more power when God is sending his angel to cry out to them, please, is your batteries getting discharged? We're saying, Lord, charge my batteries, charge my batteries. Problem is your wet cell batteries.